markets with none other than Peter Cardillo, who is chief market economist at Spartan Capital and rejoins us here on Business for Breakfast. Peter, good morning, sir. Welcome back.
Good morning. Good to be back.
Thanks for joining us. Always great to have you on the show. So I want to ask you this question because we were going up when the economy was seeming maybe a little shakier and the Fed, the prospects of a Fed rate cut, I guess, were higher. And then we get this jobs number in and some good data on Friday for the economy showing it's still pretty strong and robust. And then yesterday we see a decline in the market and pre-markets right now, another decline as the narrative is investors are concerned that the Fed isn't going to reduce rates. My question to you, Peter Cardillo, is I'm just struggling to understand why the economy does better, but the Fed isn't, maybe won't reduce rates, so investors get concerned. But when the economy is weaker, but the Fed might reduce rates, then investors get a little more positive. But am I understanding that, and is there a logic to it?
Well, there is really no logic to it because basically, what the market is saying is that cheap money, and of course we all know this, is always good for the market. Obviously, if you have cheap money, you can accelerate economic activity. When you begin to create expensive money, then the opposite happens. The economy begins to slow down. Now, it's very true that we've had mixed macroeconomic news, and there's no doubt that Friday's unemployment data was somewhat of a major surprise. In fact, I don't understand where these numbers came from, to be quite honest with you. But, you know, they might be revised, excuse me, they might be revised downward going forward, but even if they are, we would still wind up with jobs growth of, let's say, 185, 190, which was the average about 5 or 6 months ago. And so it shows that the economy remains, that is, the labor market, remains robust. And I think one of the reasons for this is because most of these jobs that have been created are very low-paying jobs. And with many of the immigrants now being sent home, the illegal immigrants, I should say, that causes a void in the labor market. And so people that are here legally and have been on the unemployment line for some time are rejoining the labor market. Also because in some certain states, the minimum wage levels have risen to $15 an hour. And so that could be a reason why we're seeing the labor market remaining very tight. Now, I don't want to say that the economy remains robust because there are certain indicators that suggest otherwise. It's growing. It might not be growing at 2.5 or 3%, but it's growing, and I kind of think it's growing closer to maybe 1.75%, 2%, which is really nothing to get excited about, but certainly economic activity that can support the present
Yeah, here's why I say the term relatively robust is more accurate in my view, in that I think the surprise is that we are withstanding the trade conflicts as well as we are. And we could be doing a lot worse. And that's why I still think that, let's say Trump managed to get a deal real quickly with China, then I think we'd start really seeing things move full speed ahead more quickly again than we are right now. And so I think underlying the economy are a lot of robust positives that are being constrained right now by some particular government policies, especially the trade war.
That's correct. I mean, I don't disagree with you on that. In fact, you know, just a few moments ago, we saw a headline which said that Trump is now saying that Indian tariffs are no longer acceptable. So it's quite clear that this is not the first time he said it. It's quite clear that this trade war is expanding beyond the Chinese-American trade dispute. And so the consequences of that, you know, could be pretty negative, especially for certain sectors of the economy, if we get into a full-blown trade war with India.
Yeah, well, indeed. And this is exactly what the president tweeted about 20 minutes ago. He put out on Twitter, India has long had a field day putting tariffs on American products. No longer acceptable, exclamation point. He hasn't said what he's going to do about it, but that's at least hinting at increases in tariffs.
I would kind of say that the tweet speaks for itself.
Yes, yes, exactly. That's fair enough. Peter Cordillo, let me ask you about the state of the China trade war from your perspective. I mean, last Saturday, so two Saturdays ago, President Trump and Xi Jinping met and they came up with a deal in terms of, you know, very simple one that said, we're not going to raise tariffs. We're going to open up Huawei a little bit more and you go ahead and buy more agricultural products, and we'll get talks starting up again. They're going to be starting, I think, this week anew. It's along the lines of what you had anticipated and expressed on this program. You were thinking, at least that's what I think. What did you make of it?
I thought it was basically, you know, in line with what I was hoping for.
Yes.
And that's what we got. And I think that I think it's more of a political, it's becoming more of a political problem now than an economic problem. And so I think he needs to wrap up this trade war. But I also want to say that if you really look at what was done so far, China seems to have the upper hand. And so therefore, I think that's another positive sign that the Chinese will come to some sort of an agreement. And I believe that that agreement is going to come sooner rather than later. So, you know, the fact that he opened some trade with Huawei is significant. And that was one of the major demands by the Chinese trade negotiator. Negotiators, and so they basically gave into that. I haven't yet seen any major purchases for U.S. agricultural products.
I know
that doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
Well, the last couple of times where there was a tentative agreement to renew talks, they promised to buy more agricultural goods, and not many were purchased. So I don't know what's going on there, why they keep we keep seeing this same movie over and over again, Peter Cordillo. But to the trade talk issue, there are some who are particularly hawkish on trade with China who are saying, look, we lost a lot of leverage, and basically Trump got railroaded by Xi Jinping and gave in, capitulated, and now the United States is in a weaker position in these talks. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's why I say, you know, it's now becoming a political issue for Trump. He needs to wrap this up. Every day that goes by, we get closer to an election. And I don't think he could win the elections if we're in a trade war. Because eventually, the trade war will weaken the economy to a level that jobs creations will cease and economic activity could actually fall into negativity. So I think it's a must that this administration concludes this trade war one way or another. And I'm confident that that will happen.
Peter Gardiller, again, our guest, chief market economist at Spartan Capital. Let me ask you about the Fed. So they're going to meet later this month, and there's the question about whether or not they're going to go ahead and reduce rates now or maybe wait until a little later in the year, maybe in September or December even, to do it. What are your expectations in that regard?
My expectations have not changed. I do not believe the Fed is going to cut this month. I don't believe that they'll cut until maybe October, December, if they cut.
Why do you think that?
Well, because there's still not enough evidence that the economy is weakening to the point that we need a rate cut. And, you know, yesterday, the president of the Central Bank of Turkey was fired just because he did not want to loosen credit. And Erdogan insisted upon it. So he fired him. And look what happened. The question of credibility comes in to play. And that's exactly what I think the bond market is there for here. If Trump were to fire him, and by the way, just a few moments ago, Larry Kudlow said that Chief Powell's job is safe for the present moment, and so I think that's an important statement, because that should help relieve the credibility issue that could happen if Powell were to get fired. So it's a question of credibility. And if the economy is growing at 1.75% and 2%, then rates are just where they're supposed to be.
Peter Gardiller, when we look at the Fed policy here, there are a lot of folks that are saying, look, they should go ahead and cut rates now, see what happens, and then let it play out. Maybe that'll help forestall some more economic slowdown and what have you. I think that overstates the impact that the Fed could have, certainly at this point in time. And then you've got folks on that end that say, let's reduce rates, like Stephen Moore, who joins us again this Thursday, who's concerned about deflation. And I know you and I have talked a little bit about his contention. And, you know, there aren't too many people who are expressing the concern about deflation, but that is something that you have some folks noticeably discussing. And President Trump obviously wants to see a reduction in rates. So what do you make about the notion of if the Fed were to actually reduce rates later this month, would that do anything?
Oh, if the Fed did that, I would certainly be totally wrong. And I think we'd have a rally that would last through the summer months.
Stock market wise, sure.
Stock market wise, sure. And, you know, as I said before, cheap money is a miracle worker for the equity markets. Because obviously, you know, corporations, the cost of money would be cheaper, and that means more profits to the bottom line.
All right, let me ask you just one final question, Peter Gardiller, and that is, overall, what do you think investors should be keeping their eyes on at this point in time, given all the dynamics we're discussing the most, so that they, you know, just to kind of give some points for research as they craft strategies and maybe wanting to make changes? Not asking you for strategies, but things to keep in mind.
Well, I think they have to, you know, look very carefully. What happens with the trade, when the trade negotiations begin, obviously track the macroeconomic news, keep a close eye on oil prices, and of course continue to monitor what happens with the yield curves. That's significant.
All right, Peter Gardiller, chief market economist at Spartan Capital. Always great to check in with you, sir. Thanks for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.